You are listening to
Rural Voices,
the Rural Youth Europe podcast.
Hello and welcome to a bonus episode of Rural Voices, the Rural Youth Europe podcast. We are very proud to be partners of the Co-Coriado project, which is designed to rebalance the position of the farmer as a key player in food supply chains. The project is looking for 40 people from across Europe to become Co-Coriado ambassadors, and the call is currently open, with a deadline for applications on the 21st of November. We held a Zoom drop-in session for those interested in becoming ambassadors and recorded this podcast episode whilst we were there. It was chaired by our Rural Youth Europe chairman, Lindsay Stewart, interviewing our projects manager, John Gillen. So if you want to know all about the Co-Coriado project and how to apply, you're in the right place. Over to you, John.
Grant, so Co-Coriado is a Horizon 2020 European project. So Horizon 2020, for anybody who doesn't know, is kind of the EU's research and development flagship programme. So the Co-Coriado project is about rebalancing the position of the farmer and reconnecting food producers and consumers and resetting the position of the farmer as a price setter for fairer pay and sustainable produce. And the way the project will do this is through three main kind of approaches. So the first approach is by looking at and examining novel farming initiatives from across Europe, things that already rebalance the position of the farmer, things that already connect producer and consumer, anything that already meets those kind of goals. And we will gather these as a project consortium into this long list, things that have good practices, things that are interesting, things that we would like to look at. And we're in the process of gathering these just now. And then the second approach is public procurement policies. So we will also look at green public procurement policies from across Europe, places where, so public procurement, for anybody who's also unaware, is anywhere where the government, local government, national government buys produce or services from, anyone for a purpose. So, you know, in food terms, this could be like school lunches, it could be hospitals, it could be prisons, it could be anything like that where like food is being bought on bulk. And I wasn't so excited about the public procurement angle when I started doing this, and I've learned a lot more about it, but public procurement is gigantic. Public procurement in the EU accounts for something like 2 trillion euros a year. That includes services, so that's not just food, but it's an absolutely colossal amount of money. And so if you think about this in terms of investment into green sustainability, then that's a gigantic amount. If you can switch public procurement to green policies, that's a huge amount of investment into that by doing that. So we'll look at good existing farming initiatives, we'll look at good existing public procurement policies. And then the main kind of third pillar, or our main interest as Rural Youth Europe, is the ambassador program. So we will recruit 40 young ambassadors, where young means anything from over 18 to, I think in Europe generally, under 40 is considered a young farmer. We don't have an upper age limit on who is to be an ambassador, but we want to have a focus on youth in the project. And we want to make sure that a new generation of both food producers and consumers are motivated to help find solutions. And we will bring them on board in the project as full partners. And they will help co-create the solutions of the project alongside the consortium members. So that's kind of the general gist of what the project is about.
Thanks, John. That sounds very interesting. I think you've maybe answered some of the questions that I had for you. But if there's anything else you'd like to add, maybe you could answer directly on why the project needs ambassadors.
I mean, there's a number of research projects going on across the EU. There's a number of research projects going on all the time. And, you know, this is really good and it's interesting to do this. But I think the important thing about Co-Coriado is that it does engage actual young people. It teaches people things, but it also brings them on in the decision-making process. It gives young people a platform to actually make decisions at a really like top level in a top project, a kind of say that most young people are just not granted, sometimes ever. And also, you know, a young farmer will know more about farming than I ever will. Like, I grew up in a very rural area, but I am not a farmer myself. And so it's to get that real people and real expertise, not just to co-create the project solutions, but also to engage people to actually be excited about these things, to actually have real people forming real solutions. So I think that's extremely important as well.
Thanks, John. I suppose one of the burning questions some of the rural young people listening might have then is, what is the expected workload for an ambassador?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. And the workload, what we actually require of the ambassadors is there will be three trainings and project meetings where they will be expected to come to all three, and they will be 3 days each. So probably a day of travel either side. All the costs will be paid for that. They'll be funded, but they must attend all those meetings. There will be an online meeting when all the ambassadors are selected in January where we can introduce them. And then the ambassadors are also expected to, part of the choice of the ambassadors will be as what we call their multiplier network. So their own organizations, the people they are normally associate with, their place in the food supply chain. We will pick people ideally that are capable of spreading project outcomes, that have the most communication with the food supply chain and are capable of spreading those outcomes back to people. So we also expect, and Marentu can correct me if I am wrong, but I believe it is 6 social media posts a year that we would like them to make. So that is the minimum. And then they must attend all 3 of the trainings. There will also be a seed initiatives program where we will select 5 or 6 seed initiatives that the ambassadors can work on, which in these seed initiatives will then actually be fully funded. We can talk more about that later. So there will be work associated with that as well. But the only compulsory things are the 3 trainings, the initial online meeting in January, and doing these social media posts. There will be other things the ambassadors can be involved with if they want. There will be other online meetings we will hold that keep people engaged or have other discussion to allow them access to the expertise in the consortium. But actually the only compulsory workload will be these 3 trainings and the initial online meeting, as I understand it.
Thanks, John. That's helpful to know. One of the other questions I have for you then, you've touched on a little bit, but maybe you could elaborate further on if there are any other opportunities for the ambassadors through the ambassador program.
Yeah, I mean, I think there will be, and I hope there will be quite a few opportunities. And I mean, the project is kind of, we're just in the stage of getting the ambassadors now. So we'll plan the training. So everything's not completely set in stone yet. But one of the things that we offer is this access to the project consortium. You know, there's 13 institutions across Europe. There's a huge range of expertise, from communications expertise, law expertise, the youth organizations. It's not just ourselves, but also Seja and Mijark are connected. There'll be events in other events that the ambassadors can learn about. I mean, aside from anything else, honestly, a Horizon 2020 project is a gigantic opportunity. They're really big projects in Europe. The budgets are large. The outcomes are well observed by the European Commission. And just having your name to say on a CV, you know, that's not what this is just about, but to say on a CV, you have had involvement in a Horizon 2020 project is quite a big thing in itself. But we will hopefully have other meetings. There will be access to resources and talks. The project will gather these best practices and public procurement policies. So they will be, you know, there'll be all of this information that they can also access and engage with. And we hope to have other opportunities that the ambassadors can take part in. The only travel will be these 3 trainings. So there isn't like money to send ambassadors necessarily to lots of other places, but there could be other opportunities to learn or do things or take part in within the project. And I hope to keep that as much engagement and involvement as possible. to me, the ambassadors being engaged and excited and their input is core to this entire project. And we want to make sure they have as much input and excitement in the project as they possibly can.
Thanks, John. And if there's someone that's listening to this thinking that they might like to become an ambassador, can you tell us a little bit about how they do apply?
Yes, certainly. So the application process is very, very straightforward. So what will happen is there's a, if you go to cocoriado.eu, and this is all over our social media and on our website and things as well, then there's basically an application process. So what we want the ambassadors to do is we want them to make a 2-minute video of themselves talking about their motivations, their ideas for novel food supply chains, their position in the food supply chain, what they'd like to see done. This can be just as straightforward as just like they take out their phone. You know, it doesn't need to be anything fancy. We're not interested in huge amounts of editing. We want to just see somebody talking with enthusiasm and motivation to understand like what they could do and why they would like to do it. So that is really, that's the one thing. And then they can go and they fill out an application form. So there will be 4 questions. And again, these will be on what their position in the food supply chain is, what their motivation for applying to the project is, any ideas they have in the food supply chain. And that's really, that's it. They submit these questions, they submit the video, and then we will let them know by, I think, the middle of December or the start of January, if they are chosen to be an ambassador.
Thank you, John. And would you say the application process is a competitive one? How many ambassadors are you looking for?
We're looking for 40 ambassadors. And I would love to say it's a very, very competitive one. It will just have to see how many applicants we actually receive. I mean, I would encourage anybody who is enthusiastic at all to apply. Of course, if we end up with hundreds of applicants, then it will be very, very competitive. And if we end up with much less applicants, then it will be less competitive. But one of the key things is that what we want is we want a network of ambassadors. So we want ambassadors from all over Europe. It's not just to have the very best of the, you know, if we get like the top 20 ambassadors are all from Belgium, then we will probably only select 2 from Belgium. So it could be very competitive within your region and less competitive within Europe, because the important thing is to have this network of different people, which means that you never know how many people have applied from your region, from within your country. So it's always worth just getting the application in, because if no one has applied from there, it's important for us to have this, to share this network across Europe, to have this network that everyone can access. For the ambassadors themselves. So I think that's an important thing about the process as well.
Sounds great. Thanks, John. Do you already know whenever those training sessions will be?
We have the dates for the first one fixed, which is the end of March next year, so 2022. It is March the 28th, 29th and 30th. Of March 2022. I don't believe the exact dates for the other training sessions are fixed yet, but I think currently the idea is we were talking about September 2022 and then maybe April 2023. I think that's the kind of region that we are looking at the moment, but they could be subject to change. And like I said, one of the key things is we need the ambassador network. We need to make sure the ambassadors can attend. We need to, so there will also be, you know, we will see exactly what happens with the rest of the project as it develops. But that's what we're looking at so far for those kind of times.
Thank you. That's all the questions that I have for you right now. I don't know if anyone else has some more or if there's anything else that you'd like to share with us.
I've just got a quick question. You mentioned that you were looking for ambassadors all over Europe. Can ambassadors from countries outside of the EU, like from the UK, are they eligible to still apply?
Yes. Yes, they are. So we would like also to see ambassadors from the UK. I know that we also have member organizations in Georgia, and I have asked as well, and that is also good. We would love to see ambassadors from Georgia as well. We'd love to see ambassadors from the UK. So it's an EU funded project, but all across Europe. And we want to see, you know, the more diverse a network we get, the better, basically. So absolutely, I would encourage anyone who is interested at all from within Europe to apply.
And also, you talked about the workload a bit earlier on. Say I'm a uni student, I've still got a year or two on my course, but I'm really interested in this topic. Do you think it would be appropriate that I still go for this opportunity whilst I'm studying?
I mean, yeah, I definitely do think it is. I mean, I think that, you know, we're going to have, there's always, I mean, honestly, let's be honest, everybody's always got time for 3 days of travel to a foreign country to do something exciting occasionally. And I think that there will be time. I think, of course, depends exactly what you're studying. But I think if you're studying anything related to food supply chains, agriculture, like consumer requirements of any kind, then it would be a gigantic benefit to your studies as well. The access to knowledge and expertise and people across Europe, both in the ambassador network and in the consortium of the project, is huge and would be a huge benefit to you. So yes, I definitely do think you should apply under those situations. There's just one thing then I would like to speak about slightly more, which we touched on, which was the idea of these seed initiatives. And I think this is perhaps the most exciting thing to offer the ambassadors and one of the most exciting things about the project. So I mentioned already that the project will gather together this long list of good farming practices from across Europe. And it will also gather together this long list of public procurement policies. And one of the first things the ambassadors will do is they will look at this long list, and alongside the project consortium, they will shorten it down from about 100 to about 15 to 20, looking at best practices, what makes them useful, what shortens the supply chain, and learn from the list and understand it better. And between the first training and the second training, as far as we understand it at the moment, the ambassadors will put forward ideas for seed initiatives. So just an idea for a new type of supply chain initiative, a new type of idea, a new type of farming method that, and as long as these are to involve, you know, more than one actor in the food supply chain. So something that connects people, something that connects consumers or wholesalers and producers or chefs and farmers or something like this. And over the course of the project, the knowledge that's gathered, five of these or six of these will be chosen. And there will be, ambassadors will have the opportunity to, it won't necessarily be each ambassador is granted the right to have their seed initiative chosen, but five will be chosen and they will be worked on and they will be fully funded with both, I think, in the region of about 10,000 euros and full like expertise support from within the consortium network. So this is like legal support, financial support, all a huge range of expert support. And this is a really exciting opportunity. This is an opportunity to see something that you actually think of yourself, develop it using best practices from across Europe, and actually have it funded and turned into something real. And I think that's one of the most exciting things we offer the ambassadors and is a really big part of the project that will come later. So that's worth knowing about as well.
And when is the deadline for applications?
The deadline for the application is November 21st. So if anyone would like to apply or is interested applying, please do so before the 21st of November. We will then, like I said before, we'll take a few weeks to decide, and then there will be an online meeting in January for all of the ambassadors that are invited to join, where we will kind of just have a get to know each other session, bit of, you know, an icebreaker, and then the first training will be in March. So yeah, 21st of November is the deadline.
Thanks, John. And will there be online meetings to keep in contact between the physical events for the ambassadors? And if so, how many do you foresee there being?
Yes, there will definitely be online events between these things. The reason I didn't bring these up before is because, as I said, the main things we require the ambassadors to do is they have to attend the trainings. It's possible there's one or two events in between, but we've not made them as a compulsory part of the workload. But of course, we would like to have, you know, events, a number. We would plan, I guess, currently at least one or two between the trainings that we will have to keep the ambassadors engaged, keep them connected to the project. Again, our role in Rural Youth Europe, we are the co-lead of the ambassador training section of the project. So alongside the Baltic Studies Centre in Latvia, we are responsible for recruiting these ambassadors, helping to run and design the training courses and keep the ambassadors engaged. And that's really why we're in the project. One of the main reasons is that's what we do. We, you know, help to activate and promote young people, and that's our key role as an organization. So that is what we will do in between the events. We have a few other things that we would like to talk about and a few other things we'd like to speak to the ambassadors about. And definitely, so we're not clear yet exactly how many meetings, but I would say at least one or two. And of course, you know, the more, a lot of this we want to come from the ambassadors. If everybody is really enthusiastic, or there's a number of people that are very enthusiastic, there's an opportunity to do more things. There's an opportunity to build some other engagement and some other activities around them if they would like to as well, and they would like the more things to do. So certainly that's the case as well.
Maybe it'd just be good to clarify, John, whether you need to be a farmer and what you define as a farmer for the ambassador role, or is there an interest in farming or any part of the food supply chain? Would that be okay also?
Great. Yeah, that's a really good question, Lindsay. Thanks. Actually, that's something I hadn't covered enough, and that's really important. You don't have to be a farmer at all. It's any part of the food supply chain. So we'd love to see farmers. We want, you know, all kinds of traditional farming, new types of farming, and farming is such an important part of the food supply chain. But we'd also like to see wholesalers or chefs. We could have food journalists who know numbers of things about food. We have people doing urban farming or new types of startups involving farming. We could also have people more on the consumer side of things, studying like, you know, consumer science. Or the more diverse and the larger the range of expertise the network has, the more interesting it will be to be a part of it, and the more we can utilize that expertise for the project. So definitely any part of the food supply chain is really what we're looking for. And when we say food producer, it's not just, you know, this could also be fisheries, or it could be growing mushrooms in a shipping container, or it could be, you know, there's a huge range of things that are interesting and exciting. And so, and this is all the more reason to apply. If you have an idea that is something different or something new, then those are exactly the kind of people we want to hear about as well.
Can I ask, in terms of the wider project, what are the real outcomes that are intended, and where will all of it go in terms of the lessons learned and policy recommendations? How will that kind of go forward and create change?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So one of the things I think that going forward is one of the most interesting bits that we hope to create change is actually on the public procurement side of things. So one of the main things on the public procurement side is that one of the goals of the project is to create this framework for public procurement that can both be presented. So there will be communication dissemination events after the project and so on and so forth in the usual fashion. But we want to have this public procurement framework that can both be shown to procurement officers to say, like, this is what sustainable means, this is what is good about sustainability, this is why you should, we want greener, and this is what, within the bounds of the law, this is what we can do to make things more sustainable. Because of course, within the European Union, within the single market, you can't specify local as a criteria. You know, it's got, that's one of the things about the single market, but there's other things that you can specify. There's other ways you can specify. So it's how to show public procurement officers this, but also to show farmers, to show food producers, to have this available so that you can actually have something that can be shown to people that says, like, this will, you know, if you're interested and you would like to engage with this, this will hopefully make your bid for public procurement more competitive. And that's something that we would like to see developed, and something that would hopefully make change. I think the biggest way that we'll develop change is also the seed initiatives themselves. There will be these five or six new policies that will actually be funded and built as an outcome of the project. And then hopefully the ambassador network. I mean, I think it is really hard in many ways to, like, know exactly, like, how have you created change, especially in a project of this type. But my hope is by generating 40, you know, young people or people who are enthusiastic about the subject and giving them knowledge and information and making them enthused and creating this network, that in itself is hopefully a change as well. It's an important question. And, you know, I guess it depends a lot on the ambassadors we get and how engaged they are to do something.
Thanks, John. And what would you say to anyone who's not sure about whether they'd like to apply or not?
It's a really exciting opportunity, and it's hard to convey here just how interesting this project will be and how good an opportunity is. I mean, aside from anything else, there will be 3 days of funded travel. You'll get to meet 39 other, you know, young people from across Europe. The trainings will be in Belgium and Latvia and Spain. There's a huge range of things to learn. There's a huge range of places to see. There's a huge range of people to meet, and you get to be part of this network. You know, the project goes on until the very end of June 2024, but the three trainings are spread out more like across about a year and a half to 2 years. So, you know, you'll know these people for a long time. There's an exciting opportunity to be part of, to make new friends, to engage with new situations, to learn things, and to gain expertise, and also to have a real say in the outcomes of the project. To really, like, you know, we want people to come. This is why what we're interested in is motivation. We want people to come and join with things to say, with ideas, so we can listen to those ideas, so we can actually help implement some of them finally.
You are listening to Rural Voices,
the Rural Youth Europe podcast.